The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Good morning. It's great to be with you here today. Looking forward to spending this time with you, looking at God's Word together. Dan's supposed to be here this morning, but he is sick with a virus. It's the first time since I've been here at Crossroads that's happened. So we hope that he gets better. And he's probably checking us out online so he can all wave when the, hey, Dan, get better soon. Pray for you. We're going to spend some great time in God's Word. We're going to take communion together as a church family. So let's just go right into the Word this morning. I want to read to you part of the Christmas story, actually, from chapter 2 of Luke. So if you have your Bibles with you or you want to grab one in front of you, you can leave it open there. We're going to be looking at the story, basically starting where the shepherds find out the good news of what's happened. And of course, to catch you up, Christmas, baby Jesus, that stuff happened. Mary, Joseph have just had the baby. They had it in a manger out of the inn because there's no room. So I'll catch you up to that story. And this just happened. And then this night, all of a sudden, these random kind of shepherd people who are out looking after flocks hear the good news. And so that's where I want to take you. So it's Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. So that night, so right after Jesus was born, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, and they were guarding their flocks of sheep. Not exactly a very exciting job, but making sure wolves aren't going to get their sheep. They're out there. And then suddenly, out of the middle of nowhere, an angel of the Lord appears among them. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." It's a key phrase for today. I'm bringing you great news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You would find him as a baby wrapped in snugly in strips of cloth, but he's lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel is joined by a vast host of others. The armies of heaven join with them, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned up into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord just told us about." So they hurried, and they went to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was that baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel said to them about this child and who he was, that he was the Messiah. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. And Mary, she kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come here today. We thank you that you inspired Luke to do this investigation, to find out what happened that day, what took place, how it went down. We thank you that you've preserved Luke's writing for us today, that we can read about it, that we can today understand this great message that brings everybody great joy. So we pray, as you inspire Luke through your Holy Spirit, that today you would inspire us to understand in a greater way what this great news really means for us. And I pray that it would take hold of us in such a way that it would produce this great joy, that from inside of us, you would do something amazing, and that we would be like the shepherds at the end, which cannot contain it, but have to tell everybody what you have done for us. We thank you for your word. be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I get disappointed often when I'm online and I'm looking at news. I'll get most of my news feeds, it seems like, from the internet now because I'm on the computer so much. And the news headlines, just they're so disappointing. They all are just like, they use these taglines where, you know, you think this is going to be, wow, this story is like unreal. And you click through it and it's like, where's the story? Like, there's nothing here. It's just emptiness, you know, this great line about something amazing that's happened. And you look into it, it's so vague and, you know, more details to come. And we're not sure really what happened. And it happens all the time. But here is this storyline of great news that brings great joy. And what I want you to know is that that's just not a great line. That is the line the angels say. This is what is the beginning of this news story. It is newsworthy. It's something you need to check out. And I want you to know that as you do that, as you get into the Gospels and you check out the good news, you start to learn that the good news is even better than you thought when you started your journey. And the longer that we journey with Christ, the more we become fully aware of what this news really means. And I think for us that our joy actually will increase on our journey over time in obedience. Because the more we unpack, the better and better this news gets about our Messiah. And I think that's what you have to know about the story. This is kind of the beginning. This is the headliner news that this is what has happened, that on this day, this has been recorded. But as you walk with Jesus, you find out that it only keeps getting better. Well, we talk about joy at Christmas. That makes sense. It's supposed to be this joyful time of the year. And maybe when you think of Christian joy or joy, you kind of think that joy is this something that, you know, it, to me, sometimes I look at people that call it bubbly and exciting and have so much joy, and I wonder about them a bit sometimes. Don't you kind of wonder that maybe this is a little fictional? This is a little too good to be true? That life just can't be that dandy all the time, no matter what's happening. Everything's perfect and great. And sometimes you just want to kind of shake people like that and go, no, it can't be that good. But I think that if we actually allow joy to take root in us in the right way, if we understand what it is and not what it isn't, I think we can experience joy on a more regular basis. So I don't know where you come from today in your experience of joy. You might be, if you were to have a joy meter, maybe your meter is really, really, really low. And that's okay because we're going to walk through the story and I think we're going to apply some ways to how to understand how this great news actually brings about the joy. That I don't think joy is something that actually we can manufacture at all. Joy is something that kind of happens to us. C.S. Lewis kind of said it best when he said this, joy is the serious business of heaven. That's what joy is. In other words, it's something that God is about. It is something that God does. It's supernatural. It is not natural. It is something that takes place inside of us. And so if that is true today, if we're looking at it, if that is true, that means that happiness and joy are different. Again, happiness is something that happens to you, right? And so when you try to stay happy, I've been talking about this before, you have to keep things happening around you that are good. Because the minute that things stop going well, happiness goes away. But if joy is bigger than that, if joy is deeper than that, if joy actually comes from God, then I think that means that we can have joy despite whatever is going on around us. Richard Foster said this, joy is an inward singing that cannot be silenced by outward negative circumstances. Most would be glad that it's inward singing today, so we don't have to hear all of it. But it's inward singing that happens no matter what's going on the outside. Even when life seemingly is falling apart, joy is a work that's going on the inside. It is not fictitious. It is not fake, and it is not something that we can make up. I know sometimes we try, and this is the season where we kind of try to put on joy. But Christmas is one of those weird seasons. It's when we find that some of us experience more depression than normal. A lot of us experience anxiety with family coming together, or not all the family coming, or part of the family that's broken. So a lot of us experience a different kind of feeling than joy around Christmas. I think Christmas is actually like a magnifying glass. It's a season where whatever is going on in your life kind of gets amplified. And so for some of us who are lonely at Christmas, our loneliness gets magnified. For some of us that are fearful and afraid of the future, it seems to get magnified. Full of anxiety, it gets magnified. But for some here, there's new kids and there's new life and there's family coming that haven't come before. And it's almost like Christmas magnifies that as well. And so it becomes more joyful. But I think Christmas is like that. So for some of us, it can be just a roller coaster experience. So wouldn't it be nice to say that if this is true, if great news brings about great joy, and if it is something that God does, that we could experience it today, regardless of the circumstances that are going on around us. And so I want to draw a couple conclusions, what I think from this story, that would help us on this journey of experiencing joy. And the first truth that I think is very clear is that joy is received, it's not made. It's not like these shepherds made something up or got excited and then they heard something. It was something they simply received. The angel of the Lord said, I am bringing you good news that will bring to people great joy. In other words, this is a gift. Sometimes, you know, people want you to kind of get excited before the news. And they'll kind of say, you know, got to get excited. This is really exciting stuff. And we conjure up excitement. And then the news kind of is like, you got me all excited. It just, you know, it was all right. But that's not what happened here. What happened here is, I'm going to bring you good news. And this good news is going to bring great joy to who? To all people. And if this is true, that means for today, this same news that came suddenly to these shepherds has the ability to bring great joy to us as well. We're included in this all people deal. And so we're looking at that. I think it's a gift. It's something that you receive from God that God does for you suddenly. And suddenly it happens. There's a key word in there. That's that suddenly word. And sometimes we think, whenever something sudden happens, it's bad. We kind of get afraid of the season, right? If something suddenly happens to someone, it's going to be bad news. And often it does, and it's like, oh, everything was going fine, and then suddenly they got sick. Suddenly there was an accident. Suddenly something happened, and it went south. They were doing so well in their job, and then suddenly the market crashed. Or everything in the relationship seemed to be going, and suddenly out of nowhere. But this suddenly is different. This suddenly came to shepherds who had just, you know, they weren't really active participants in the rest of society. They weren't accepted in the common circles. They weren't allowed to go near the temple because they were filthy. They were, you know, untouchables. They weren't allowed to even be in court. They weren't allowed to be a witness for anybody else. They couldn't testify. People thought they were scoundrels. People thought that they just weren't anything to do with someone to be trusted. And so they're just on the outside all the time. But suddenly, something happens to them that changes everything. They become the bearers of amazing news to bring joy to other people. Suddenly, their life gets turned upside down. This suddenly also divided all of time in two. This great news of this day would mark the history of mankind forever. Whether or not you follow Jesus, worship him or not, you live in a world that has been divided in half in time because of this sudden moment, because God chose to come. This suddenly can happen to you too. It doesn't matter where you came in the door today, what you're coming with, what circumstances, whether you're on the outside or whether you're on the inside, whether you're not trusted or trusted, whether you're broken or not broken. Suddenly, this great news can actually take your life and can be a defining moment and change all of history for you. This great news can turn to great joy, but it can be a time that before you heard what Jesus has done for you, and now everything has changed. That is the power of this great news. It's amazing stuff. God did this. He has chose to reveal himself to us. Well, the next part, I think, in this story is really interesting, is that whenever you receive great news, you then get this privilege of sharing great news with others. When you have great news, it becomes something that of a gift you receive, but then it's like you get the opportunity to tell other people. Have you ever had amazing news that you get to tell other people? Yesterday I was invited to a good news party. My niece got married this last year, and they're expecting a baby. And I got an invite to travel in this very, very cold weather to go to a party of great news. And I didn't know what it was. I got an invite on Facebook that you should come for this. Your niece is having a gender reveal party. Now, in today's day, that worried me a little bit because I'm just being a guy, and I know all your women are like, you're kidding me. But no, I never even heard of one of these before. It's a new thing, I guess. Your niece is having a gender reveal party. So after I got over the shock of what that might not be and could be, I realized, oh, this is the good news day. This is the day when they're finding out whether the baby inside of them is a boy or a girl, and they want to share the good news with all of us. And so the best news for me was that I could do live video. They set it up so I could tap in live video instead of driving out in the cold. But so we, relatives from all over the country and some that could make it there, we all gathered and got to come together for this good news. The good news celebration. Thanks. It's a boy. So that was cool. The balloons came out of this bag. I've never been a part of that. So women, sorry. Guys, if you're like me, come tell me later. I always feel so alone up here. Like I'm the only schmuck in the room that doesn't know what's going on. But this is really cool. But this was a privilege. You know what they didn't do? They didn't do this. They didn't go, you know, now that we're pregnant, guess we better tell some people. Who do you want? I don't know. I don't really want to tell anybody. Yeah, let's just keep it. You know, it's like, it doesn't happen. When something like this happens, you get this. You actually own something. You know something that other people don't know. And you know people are going to be excited about it. You know that it's good. You can't wait. And so I was thinking about this as I was looking at this. Instead of, you know, I put in there, you get good news comes with a privilege of sharing with others, but sometimes for a lot of us, we sit back and we've heard this good news a lot. Every Christmas, we've heard the message like this. You know, we come here week after week and we hear the good news of the Messiah being born, the Messiah coming in the world to save us from our sins. We've heard this good news, but we often so walk around as if it's a burden that now, I guess, they expect us or somebody, we gotta go tell people something's wrong with us. The good news somehow didn't turn into great joy. So I don't know. I've been thinking about this for myself. Is like, why would I hold back? Why would I hold back anything that was this amazing? That God came in the flesh, that we might be rescued from our situation of dire need, and that we would have life and life to the fullest. Why would we hold back from sharing such great news? Maybe we haven't experienced it quite right yet. And so we need to read it. We need to understand it. And Luke and Matthew, they start their gospels by telling us, you know, how this went down, how this happened. And Luke studied and researched and interviewed, and he wanted to know how. But we also need to go into like the book of John, because John spent his whole life and he waited till he was an old man before he wrote down. And his whole purpose was that we would know why he came. And so it's not okay just to know the Christmas story. We need to know from the other writers as well. We need to know that he came, that he's here, that he's the Messiah, he's the Lord. But we need to understand the message. What does Messiah mean? What does the Lord coming mean? And John articulates it so well for us. And part of today, we get to celebrate communion. Understanding what Jesus came to do, which is to die in our place, that we might be reconciled with the Father. That's the amazing news. And suddenly he broke into history and forever changed the lives of the shepherds, forever changed the lives of all people who would hear and accept this good news. We get to participate in that good news today. The third truth that kind of comes out of this story is that joy actually doesn't just come immediately when a message comes. When you receive it, I think this is where I was trying to reflect for a lot of us, is why is it we've received message, but it actually hasn't yet brought about this great joy? Maybe there's a gap there. And as I looked at the story, I thought, you know, often when the message first came, the immediate reaction wasn't joy. In fact, in this story, we see several times when the immediate reaction was fear. It was terror. It was, what does this mean? Even for Mary, you know, when she first, the angel appeared to her and said, this is what God is doing. There's going to be a Savior born. He's going to be born unto you. And this is, she was afraid. You can imagine all the things going on in her mind. I'm going to give birth. I'm a virgin. No one's going to believe me. Joseph could have me killed. What does this mean? And I think at first, until we actually see and taste the message, it can bring about fear in people. Mary was told to go. Mary, you need to believe this. You need to see what I'm doing. You need to go visit Elizabeth. Go visit Elizabeth, see what I'm doing in her life. And when you see that she is with child too, that I'm doing something there, when you believe that, then you're able to believe what I'm doing in you too. And so she went to see, and she was told to be to go and look and watch what I'm doing for someone else. And she went, she pulled up side and she visited her, and the baby's got all excited. It says in the story, John was in Elizabeth, and John leaped for joy when Jesus came in the room. And Mary was amazed at what God was about. And it says that's when her song comes into place, where she rejoiced in what God was doing inside of her, because she went and she saw what God was doing elsewhere. The shepherds were told what? Go. Here's the message. It's overwhelming. It's huge. You need to go and see what I'm up to. Go and visit. Go find it. Here's what you're looking for. And they went. And when they went and they found the baby, just as the angel said, and they saw and they touched and they got to embrace what God was doing, it says they walked out of there and they told everybody what God was up to. They could not believe that what they had heard was true. So now they went and they told everyone what the angel had said. I can imagine on the way there, they kept quiet. I don't think we should tell anyone what just happened. No one will believe us. I think Mary did the same thing. I'm keeping my mouth shut. I'm going to go check out this Elizabeth thing. And if that is true, I think that's what often happens. And for some of us, we've gone, we've heard, we've seen it, we've tasted it a little bit, but we haven't yet tried it on, experienced it, proved it to be true in our lives. And so it hasn't yet, for some of us, birthed into this great joy. And so the fourth truth that I think often happens is that good news comes with a choice. Good news comes along and you have a choice now. What do you do? Do you go and see and try and taste it? Do you put it on? Do you apply it? Do you walk in it? Or do you walk away from it and say, that was interesting. Wow, that was quite the experience. What do you think? And so many times we come somewhere and we hear an amazing message from God and we read God's word and maybe we do this at home alone sometimes or sometimes we gather and we hear it and we go, wow, that was quite a message. But we don't go forth. We don't step out and now go and see how it unfolds. We don't go and look. We don't go rub shoulders. We don't go talk about it. And therefore, for a lot of the time, it doesn't birth in us great joy. It just becomes an experience that we pack away as a moment that happened. But it doesn't define our history. Great news comes with a great choice. 1 Thessalonians says this verse, and it's a really short verse, so if you haven't memorized many, many verses, this one's three words. You could do it with me today. It'd be really easy. It's always be joyful. And you're like, oh, fake it. No. Always be joyful. And I want to unpack it. Why? How can we do that? Because we're talking about today. And you might walk in the door and say, I'm not joyful. You're lucky I'm here, but I'm not joyful. I will put up with this, but I'm not joyful. Maybe that's you. This verse says, always be joyful. Well, it's followed by another verse I didn't put in there. I don't know why I didn't put it in there. But the next verse is just as easy to memorize, and it's three words. It's amazing. I didn't see this before. And it's the verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. There you go. So, okay, I'll tell you what it is. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is always be joyful, and then it says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. In other words, I think Philippians 3 helps us. Whatever happens, go to your Father. Whatever's going on, go to your Father. And you go to your Father, and you rejoice in what? You rejoice in your pain. Do you rejoice in your job loss? No. Do you rejoice in the broken marriage? No. Do you rejoice in your sickness? No. Well, what then do we rejoice in? Where does that joy come? It says in Philippians 3:1, whatever happens then, what we do is we go to the Lord and we pray and we rejoice in Him. We rejoice in Him. Rejoice in what He's done, that He's come, that He's saved us, that He's paid for our sins, that He's set us free, that He's forever changed our destiny and the destination of our journey today. We get to always rejoice. We can always be joyful, not because all circumstances are full of joy, but because we are now rooted in the one who brings joy into us. If joy is from God, then joy is supernatural. That means it passes understanding some days. That means in times when no one else can understand why there's still joy in you, you have joy. Because we can rejoice when we go to our Father. We bring it before Him in prayer, and we choose to rejoice in Him, in what He has done for us. Great news comes with a choice. There's another little verse that never is read in the Christmas story. And it's in the Christmas story, really. It's when the parents, Joseph and Mary, they take Jesus to the temple. And they take Him before the prophet Simeon. And the first service didn't even get this. This is good news for you. You get the second one. And in verse 34, Simeon blesses all of them and says to Mary, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall. You're like, what? I thought it was great news. He just said, here's a kid. He's prophesying over him. This is what this kid's going to do. This kid is going to cause people to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. In other words, just receiving the good news, just receiving Jesus into their midst, did not mean that everyone was going to experience great joy. It was their choice to respond to him. It was their choice of whether or not they would trust him, they would trust in what he was doing, that they would believe him, that they would follow him. And for many people, many of them refused to believe who he was. Many refused to believe in what he was going to do for them on the cross. Many refused to acknowledge that he was sent from God. And because of that, they never experienced great joy. They got the message, but it never translated. But for many others who believed, many others who followed, many others who accepted what he would do for them, great joy was found. We have a choice today. We have to choose whether or not we embrace it. I want to give to you, as we go into the communion, it's important that we know what this great news that brings great joy is. And I said John was one of the oldest disciples before he wrote his gospel. He took care of Mary. He watched Jesus die on the cross, and Jesus told him to look after Mary, and he looked after Mary to his very old. And his main point of writing his story was to make sure there was no confusion on what the message really was. Why Jesus came. What was so spectacular about him coming was why he came. Not just that he came, but why he came. And we find it, and most of us would know this verse. John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned a verse that is most people in the world have at least heard at one point. At least when they have access to God's word, it's the main verse that we learn as kids. And I want to read it to you, John 3:16, but also verse 17. Which we usually don't follow through with. And he says this, he penned these words, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone, all people could have great joy. He did this so that everyone who would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." That everyone who would trust him, everyone who would decide to follow him, everyone who would trust their life in his hands would not perish but have eternal life. Because God sent his Son into the world that day, suddenly divided all of eternity, not to come in to judge the world. But he sent him into that world that day to save the world through him. That is the great news that can bring people great joy. And if you have received Jesus Christ and you trust him, you are now a bearer. You are now a bearer of this news, this great news that has an amazing ability to bring others great joy. And we get the privilege of being a part of it. We're going to pray and we're going to go into communion and we're going to celebrate why he came. He came to take our place. He came to take my place on the cross because I couldn't do it. I can't be good enough. I can't earn my way in. There's no way that I can become the person I need to become to stand before a holy God. I was doomed. So he came into the world to take my place on the cross, to pay the debt that I could never repay, that I might have eternal life, and you might have eternal life. So let's pray. We're going to participate together. After I'm done praying, there'll be people out here holding the bread and the cup. And if you kind of make your way out on this aisle and you come down and around, you can pick up an element, pick up a piece of bread, pick up a cup. And as we participate today, if you do that, if you participate along with us, you're trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. You are accepting the great news, the great message, the gospel message into your life and participating along with it. And so we're going to do that. And then once everyone has one, go back to your seat and we'll participate together and take it along in community. If you are online and you want to join with us, go get something to drink as some juice and some bread and get it, and we'll walk through this communion as part of a community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity that we really do have to come here in your presence with your word and to experience the truth of the message that you loved us, that you took the initiative, it was your idea, and you came because we needed a savior. We needed a Messiah. We needed one who could purify us, that we would have a relationship with you, that we would live forever, that we would not die in our sins and perish. So today, as we come before you, would you help us fresh and new understand this message in a greater way? And then I'd pray for those today. There's many of us here today. We don't feel the joy. There's pain. There's heartaches in people. There's pressures. There's problems we're facing. And we need you to do something. We need you to gift the birth of joy inside of us from this message. We want to receive it today. Trust you today. We pray that you would begin to do a great work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.